I greet you all in the name of Jesus, the one that we have been singing about. And I trust that you have found it meaningful to not just sing the song that you may know by heart, but to let the message speak to you. This morning for devotions, I'd like to just have a time of focusing on the Lord and of worship. There are various ways that devotionals can draw our hearts to God. Some can be very, very challenging. Others may be more reflective. This morning I would say that mine is a little more reflective. All in an attempt to worship, to draw our hearts to God, to put aside the week's troubles, maybe even accomplishments, and lay them at his feet and worship the one who is truly worthy. In my study for Calvary Bible School, I'm in 1 Timothy, and I was blessed by a number of verses here that I'm sure I've read before, but I just was challenged to see the words that are given for our Lord. So I invite you to turn to 1 Timothy 6, be reading verses 13 to 16. First Timothy 6, beginning in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, this would be Paul writing to Timothy, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. As I looked at these verses, of course we have interspersed in some of the dialogue, very personal things that Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. But it is all interconnected because he makes the connections. I give thee charge in the sight of God is the first part, but then he goes on to explain about God, who quickeneth all things, or we could say who makes all things alive. So that is God who makes all things alive, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Jesus was able to give a good confession before Pilate because he trusted and committed his life to God. That seems to be some of what Paul is bringing out here, is that Jesus Christ was able to stand clear before Pontius Pilate and he had his motives were right. Because he had committed himself completely to God's will and plan. As we move on then, we see that this passage is to give courage to Timothy and to us that what we commit to God, he is able to keep. Because of God's faithfulness, we can continue on. Paul is saying to Timothy, this thing that you've been charged with, of taking the gospel to everybody, and as you administer that in your congregation, that you can do it because you have committed yourself to Jesus Christ. Then he brings out the second coming. And It says, which in his times he shall show. We know from Scripture that it says that no one knows the day nor the hour except the Father. And so the Father, our Father God, will someday say, it is now time. Just as we celebrate Christmas and we read how in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came the first time as a baby. So in the same way, in the fullness of time, and we don't know when that is, the Father knows, in the fullness of time, he will be coming again. Now I'd like to look at numerous things that it says about Jesus. The first one is something that I just mentioned. The second coming is in his time. These all point to a God who is over all. And then we see the next one. He is the sovereign God. The potentate is how the King James says, but sovereign probably would be at least a word that we would understand better. That God is sovereign. He is the sovereign God. He is Lord over all. And we know that not everything, that yes, he is sovereign, and yet because of man's will, man's choice, there is a sense in that his sovereignty is not complete until the coming of Jesus Christ, where he will then be completely and supremely King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is the next two phrases, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is immortal, it says. Death has nothing on him. We as humans are mortal. We will succumb to death, but God is immortal. He dwells in light. He is the unapproachable light, is what it says. In other words, the light is so bright that we cannot, there's no way we can approach it. And that is actually why he sent Jesus Christ to come in human flesh to show us who he is. We cannot see his face and live, is what the scriptures tell us. We know of several men in the Old Testament who were able to see a portion of his glory, but we don't believe it was his face because it says very clearly that they would not have lived. Then we see that he deserves honor and that he has eternal dominion. I would just like to take a moment for you to pause and to reflect. As we've looked at this Jesus Christ, this God who we serve, just take a moment in silence to focus on him and to thank him for who he is, and then I will finish with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you grateful for who you are. And Lord, we've just, in a sense, scratched the surface this morning of who you are in reading this scripture. And yet, I trust that in our hearts we are saying, yes, Lord, you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords, and I choose to submit my heart to you today. Thank you, Lord, that it was through Jesus coming the first time that made it possible that we can have a direct connection, a relationship with you, Heavenly Father. I pray today, Lord, as we've gathered, that our hearts would be drawn to you, that our hearts would be cleansed so that because we know out of our hearts is how we live. And so, Father, cleanse our hearts today, purify us so that our lives reflect the beauty of Jesus. Pray this through Christ. Amen. I was blessed by one of our Christmas songs, O Holy Night, recently, and I'd like to sing it, number 225.